rest on us today. We invite you now to rest on us today, believer or unbeliever, whether we are close to you, whether we are far from you, rest on us today. Lord Jesus, move amongst us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, guys. Take your seats. Thank you, worship team. They have done a stunning job this weekend. They have worked very, very hard. That was maybe set six or seven that they have done. So we are very blessed to have them. My name is Meg, and it's great to be with you today. I am one of the pastors here at Freedom Church, along with my husband, Josh, who currently has a sleeping baby on his chest. So we tag team and take turns. One of us preaches and the other has the kids somewhere. So it's a real privilege to be up here today, and I'm really excited to bring the word that I believe God has placed on my heart. And if you are just joining us recently, or maybe, you know, last week was a long time ago, we're in the Holy Spirit series. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, and I love the Holy Spirit. I love talking about the Holy Spirit. And when I was scheduled in to bring the word this week, I thought, what on earth am I going to talk about? Because there's so many things. There's so many things you can talk about when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And God landed this idea and this concept in my mind that I believe is really going to help us in our walks with the Holy Spirit. But before I get into that, indulge me for a moment whilst I talk about my dog. He's about to appear on the screen, and... many things I could say about him. When we first got our dog, we were young, naive, and lots of people told us when you get a dog, you know, that one of their main priorities in life is going to be to please you, the owner, man's best friend, you know, just they're going to be loyal, obedient, just, you know, incredible. And over the course of my life with my dog, his name is Albie, I have seen that to be not true. And I'll give you some examples. I've tried to demonstrate these to some of these pictures on here. Albie's biggest desires in life aren't necessarily to please me, the owner. I mean, certainly not me. I'm not the favorite in the house. Josh is the favorite in the house. But he will not hesitate to take the scraps of food off the table, as you'll see. And this guy, he's big. He's massive, right? So he's like another human in the house, honestly. He'll not hesitate to jump up and take food from my table. He has made our sofa his bed, which is the second picture on here, and this is his really charming sleeping face. And he also won't hesitate to steal my children's things. That I did not put this dummy in his mouth. He picked it up himself and started running around and throwing it around. And you'll see right on the far side, that is one of my daughter's cuddly toys. And there are some things that he truly has damaged that we have not told her about. So please, if you see her, we don't talk about what Albie has touched or what he hasn't. And so over the course of his life and my life with him, I have seen that his core desire is not to please me, but himself. And it shows. It really shows. Albie, my dog, I love him, but he's selfish. And I'm not here for any dog lectures today. I know this is largely because we didn't train him well enough. We are well aware. Albie's time with us in the 4 years he's been with us has been a lesson in deep humility and sanctification. So if you're looking at me going like, Meg, well, you know, this is your fault. I know. We know. Yet he has provided me with an example to show you this morning of what it looks like to live for yourself, really. Albie lives for himself. And I can't blame him. He's a dog. He doesn't have a higher sense of self to appeal to. So we just navigate it day to day. You know, he's a nice guy. We love him, but he's a selfish guy. And so it got me thinking the way that Albie lives and the way the evidence in his life of what his desires are, it shows, right? And so I wondered if we took a step back and we reflected on our own life, what it would show about our deepest desires. Because our life, the bottom line is, our life is evidence of our deepest desires, whether we like it or not. And you might be sitting there going like, Meg, but I desire a new car and I desire a brand new house and I don't have those things. I'm not talking about those things this morning, guys, okay? I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about how these desires manifest in our lives, such as, does the working round the clock and never resting show your deepest desire for wealth and success at all costs? Does your waking up at midnight with anxious thoughts show your desire for control and certainty? Does your engagement in cyclical sin, the sin that you keep on coming back to and can't escape from, show your desire for comfort? The things in our life will reveal our deepest desires. And this isn't just a nice phrase I've made up. Let's just get that back on the screen. This is right from the Bible, where it's Matthew 7:20. By their fruit, you will recognize them. So as I'm talking today, I just want to get you thinking, what is the evidence in your life? And you're not going to be able to do this in one sermon. This is going to be something you're going to need to talk about with God or think about. But what is the evidence in your life of your deepest desires? Or does your life show evidence of the desire of the Holy Spirit? Does it? Because when I started thinking about my life, I actually wasn't sure that my life showed evidence of this desire. And that's what we're talking about today. Nossi last week did a beautiful job of setting up who the Holy Spirit is and why we should engage with him and his role in our lives. And today I want to talk about desiring the Holy Spirit, what it is to desire the Holy Spirit. And so I want to take a little step back and just have a look at what is this Holy Spirit and how is he supposed to operate in our lives? Because my understanding and my experience is the Holy Spirit is so, so good. He is, I barely have words to describe what life is like with the Holy Spirit, because it's far beyond what I was ever sold as life, that life was as a Christian. And yet, I don't always desire him. And that's a problem. So let's remind ourselves of what it is. Who is this Holy Spirit? And why don't we desire him? Did you know that in John 16, Jesus says it's actually to our advantage that Jesus left the earth, because unless he did that, he couldn't send the Holy Spirit. This is a pretty wild statement from Jesus, that it is a good thing that he leaves, so that he can send the Holy Spirit. This should give us a really big indication of how amazing the Holy Spirit is. Did you know that the Holy Spirit can show you whatever truth you need in whatever moment you have in your life? No matter how big the truth, no matter how small the truth, he can give you whatever truth you need in the moment. John 16 also says that he guides us in all truth. Did you also know that the Holy Spirit wants to provide direction for your life? John 16 also says that he tells us about the things that are to come. He's not going to tell you all the plans for your life, but he is going to give you senses and words so that you can follow his whispers. This for me was mind-blowing. I remember when I first started learning this and really leaning into this, it leads you into some crazy places, but some holy places. Some holy places where God really moves. Did you know that just by being with the Holy Spirit, you don't even need to do anything necessarily. You don't even need to have a 5-step plan. Just by being with the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit will show in your life. If you are in the Holy Spirit's presence, you will see the fruit of peace. You will see the fruit of forbearance, love, joy, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wouldn't we all like some more of that in our lives? And did you also know that the Holy Spirit wants to give you gifts? He wants to give you gifts. There are things that are anointing. There are things that the Holy Spirit wants to place in your hand and say, I have chosen you to steward this gift on earth. What kind of gifts are we talking about? Prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, mercy, leadership. There's so many. There's so many that I don't have time to go into them today. I could go on and on and on this morning about how amazing the Holy Spirit is. But instead, I want to ask this question. If he does all those things, if he is all those things, why on earth don't we desire him? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. When he is so good, when he is the thing that satisfies every single desire that we have, why don't we desire him? Well, I think Galatians shows us the answer to this, and it says this, and I want you to remember this book, Galatians, because I'm going to test you later, because you think you might be sleepy this morning, so I want to test you, because we're coming back round to this book, okay? Galatians 5 verse 17 says this, for the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. I'm sure many of us have read that before. But when we read it in the context of our fleshly desires actually stopping and hindering our desire for the spirit, I think it needs to make us stop and take note. Stop and take note of what is actually going on inside of us. Because these desires that we have, these desires that the Bible calls of our flesh, so the things that come up naturally within us, the things that the world sells us, they're insatiable. What does insatiable mean? They are never satisfied. Your flesh is never, ever satisfied. I have one too many times been the victim of those midnight anxious thoughts, and I am not the only one in here, but I'm going to go first, and I'm going to be vulnerable with you today. I know I'm not the only one that has woken up in the middle of the night gripped with fear. Why? Why am I gripped with fear? Because I have this insatiable desire for certainty. I have this insatiable desire for predictability. I have this insatiable desire for comfort. And it's never, ever satisfied. No matter how many plans I make, no matter how many times I overthink the same scenario in my head, no matter how many times I catastrophize all the worst things that could possibly happen, I will never be satisfied. The flesh is never satisfied. Never, ever satisfied. And so it got me thinking, what is it? What is it, this condition that we are suffering with as human beings? I think we're suffering with this condition called disordered desire. We suffer with this condition where the desires of our flesh are not only in conflict with the desires of our spirit, but they supersede the desires of our spirit, right? But why? And why is that? Because we feed them. We feed them. We think, oh, it would be a good time to pray, but actually let me make a plan. Oh, it would be a good time to spend time with the Spirit, but let me go and try and achieve these things for myself. It would be a good time to pray and to maybe seek the Lord and maybe to worship, but instead I'm going to catastrophize all the things that could go wrong in my life and try and make a plan for them. Or I'm going to work around the clock and I'm going to try and build my own kingdom because I can save myself. I don't think that's right. I don't think that is what our faith is about. God is calling us out today. Because the main symptom of this condition called disordered desire is that it keeps the Holy Spirit distant. Why am I not experiencing more of the Holy Spirit? Well, what do you want? What do you actually want? What do you actually desire? Not that idea that comes from your head, but what does the evidence of your life show? What do you really, really want? Do you want the things Jesus can give you, or do you want the person of the Holy Spirit? Do you want the person of the Holy Spirit? We suffer with this. Now, let me be really clear. The Holy Spirit can do what he wants when he wants. Okay, so this is not a message that says you got to be better in order to meet God. That's not a theology that we adhere to. But there is something that we see within the Bible where the Holy Spirit responds to desire. Right? So we know it. And the Holy Spirit, if he wanted to, could come into this room right now. He could knock us all over flat and we could start experiencing the Holy Spirit and seeing signs and wonders. We could. He could. He has full autonomy to do that. Why don't we see that though? Because he often desires our hearts and our desires before he moves. And that's not him going, come on, work for me. It's saying, I just really want you first. This Holy Spirit saying to you, I really want to just be with you first. I really want to just be in your presence first because I love you so much. So this is God in his design going, this is how people are to have a healthy relationship with the Holy Spirit. Not to walk around thinking, well, if God wanted to, he would. And if God would send his Spirit, then he would. Because some of us, I think that way. Right, we're waiting and we're going, well, the Holy Spirit might, so we'll just see. And instead he's saying, no, I need you to want me first. I need you to desire me first because I really want to be with you. And this isn't just a concept I've come up with. We see it in the Bible. And we're going to head now to Acts 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. And if you know this story, it's a bit of a scary one sometimes. Have we got a slide before that? Or no, never mind. Let me just summarize this story. This story is two people coming to the disciples. It's the beginning of the early church. They're beginning to build the church. And it's two people coming and saying, we have sold our property and we want to give you the proceeds of that property to help fund the church. Amazing! Guys, how generous! That's so incredible. And then the next bit of scripture says this. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Next slide. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received from the land? You have not just lied to human beings, but to God. Now, you would be forgiven on first reading this to think, Peter, thank you, would have sufficed. You know, like someone has just sold their house to give money to the ministry. Thank you card, a hug would have been good, a good start. You know, if you wanted to challenge them afterwards, maybe, but a thank you would have been a good start. But the reason this scripture is so stark and the response is so stark, because it's not about how much money they kept back or not. It's not about that. It's not about how much money you can give. It's not about how much money they kept back for themselves. Maybe they needed that money to sustain themselves. I don't know their situation. It was about the posture they had to the Holy Spirit. That's what this story is about. Don't get tied up on the like, what, Peter, but they gave money. Like, what is going on here? Get tied up on the fact that Ananias and Sapphira thought they could deceive the Holy Spirit. What is evidence showing us that their desire is here? Status? Look how much I'm giving to the ministry. Look at this big, grand, generous gesture. Status, pride, reputation, rather than the desire to be close to the Holy Spirit and to see other people be seen being close to the Holy Spirit. That's what this is about. It's about the approach we have to the Holy Spirit. And I read this and I thought, well, I am blessed in that I have never been struck down by the Holy Spirit. We are all sitting here live today, which is fantastic. Amen. God's mercy. God's mercies are new every morning. I've never been struck down by the Holy Spirit, but I have been sidelined by the Holy Spirit for many seasons in my life, actually, as I look back over the years. And one particular area that I see God often sidelines me in is the area of my greatest weakness, actually. Something for me, one of the desires of my flesh that I have had to fight off year after year, month after month, is this desire for success, this desire for achievement, this desire for building my own kingdom in the name of God. So from a very early age, I had felt this call to pursue my calling, to pursue my purpose in the arena of law and of government. And that is something I still believe today, that it's an area that I feel that God has called me to. Now, I first felt this call when I was about 16. So I was young. My faith was quite immature. And when I first sort of sensed this call, I thought, yes, Lord, I will do this for you. It will all be for you. I will move to London and become a very wealthy, successful lawyer for you, Lord. Yes, I will do that. And so I finished my degree and I thought, nah, I'm set. I've got a degree. I'm ready to start earning some money and start building this thing that God has called me to. And as I was approaching graduation, I started to pray, which is a good thing to do. And I felt the Holy Spirit tell me to move back to my hometown and take up an administrative job for a year. Don't you remember that call? Don't you remember that big, incredible, attractive call? You really want me to move back? Okay. Now, I want to tell you I'm from a tiny little town. I am from a tiny little town with not many opportunities. Certainly not the place you want to go and try and build a career, in my opinion. Love you, Hereford, if anybody's here. I love it. It's the place that I was raised, but it's not the place I necessarily wanted to build as an adult. And I went and I thought, what is going on? I was devastated, actually. I was devastated. And through the course of that year, God slowly peeled back these layers that I had built in my life. And he said, Meg, your desire is not for me. It's for success. And it was this really painful revelation to have at 21 years old. But it shifted my entire approach, my entire trajectory for how I followed God going forward. So I thought, right, fantastic. About a year later, I felt God call me back into the legal field. And I thought, fantastic, I've learned the lesson. I did it. I learned the lesson. I have been healed of this disordered desire. My desires are back on track. Let's do that. This is all for God. And God did a series of miracles to land me in a job and to get me trained and qualified as a lawyer. It was amazing. And then he called me to give up my career and go to South Africa. Am I here? Lord, Holy Spirit, am I hearing you right here? Because I really think I'm responding to these whispers, and yet I feel like I'm being sidelined again. Right, this time, there was some other purposes that needed to go first. But this whole thing of my specific calling and my purpose felt like it was being sidelined again. And I was like, God, what is going on? Why am I so fearful right now? Oh, because my deepest desire is actually security and comfort. It's not the Holy Spirit. Okay, all right. And another lesson ensued, and another path I went on, and I walked down, and God was peeling away, until I get to this point where I go, Lord, all I want is you. And then he leads me into a series of jobs. And then even recently, then he took a job opportunity away from me. And I thought, you've got to be joking. You have got to be joking. We are not here again, are we? And he said, yes. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Why did it devastate me? Because I'd come to desire that more than the Holy Spirit. And that's not the only thing God is doing in those moments, but it is a place that God uses to heal us from this disordered desire, because our fleshly desires are insatiable. They are insatiable. And I want you to recognize that they're not just these things that would be nice to have. It would be nice to have some comfort. It would be nice. No, these are evil desires within us. You know, wanting the house and the job and whatever, it's not bad in and of itself. But what our core desire is really, really matters. The Holy Spirit is no fool. You cannot believe, hear me now. You cannot fool the Holy Spirit. You cannot. You might be walking along your life and thinking, I'm doing fine. My desires might be not where they should be, but you can't fool him. He will not hesitate to sideline you. And I do not say that to cause fear in your life. I say it because it is the most important thing we could ever do, is desire the Holy Spirit, because he is the one that takes us through this Christian life. Shows us the truth, shows us the way, reveals things to us, teaches us, comforts us. He's so amazing, and we don't desire him enough. And it's a real problem. So, what is the Holy Spirit doing? The Holy Spirit really wants to treat our disordered desire. He wants to bring treatment today. Sometimes that treatment comes in a gentle healing, and other times that treatment comes with a surgeon's scalp. And he comes to cut away some of the things that are in our life that are not only serving us, but are also getting in the way of our desire for the Holy Spirit. And you might be listening to me today and you're thinking, Meg, this doesn't sound very appealing. I've got to be honest, this doesn't sound very appealing. Not at first, no. But there is a level of discomfort we actually need to go through to find this desire for the Holy Spirit. And I can promise you this, your desire for the Holy Spirit will never find you lacking. It will never find you lacking. You might be thinking, man, but this seems to be landing us in places that don't quite make sense. That's okay. God asks for our trust. He doesn't provide us always with all of the details. I've followed this Holy Spirit for nearly 2 decades now. And he has never, ever seen me in a place of lack. On the face of it, maybe, but deep down, truly, over the course of my life, he has not placed me in a place of lack. We love that scripture, don't we, that says, Psalm 37, verse 4, seek first the kingdom and he will give you the desires of your heart. Amen. We love that. Oh, we love that scripture. God, the cosmic slot machine. If I just insert some faith, if I just read my Bible, then I'm going to get everything I want. Oh, we misread that scripture. We misread that scripture so often. We miss this first chunk of the scripture. Seek God. Because what happens when you seek God? His desires become your desires. That's what has to happen first, so that he can then give you the desires of your heart. If God had given me all of the desires of my heart at 21, what a mess. Yeah, Frank, what a mess. What a mess I would have been. I couldn't have handled it. And it actually, truthfully, wasn't even what I really wanted. It wasn't. Through this refining fire of desiring the Holy Spirit, he reveals to us who we really are and what we really want. You might think you know what you want right now, but the Holy Spirit comes and guides us in all truth. He tells us the things that are to come, and he shows us who we really are in Jesus. So how do we seek treatment for this disordered desire? Well, what book did I say we were coming back to? Galatians. Come on, guys. I love it. Back to Galatians. Now, before Paul starts talking about this tension and this wrestle between the two different desires that we have, it says this. We're going to Galatians the bit before. Do we have that last slide? It says about walking with the Spirit. I'm going to tell you. I know what the scripture is. It says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So what is this treatment for disordered desire? Walk by the Spirit. Can I have my beautiful assistant come up and help me demonstrate this point? Letitia. She's my beautiful and also semi-reluctant volunteer today. I said, can I use you as a prop? She went, I'll find someone to help you. And I said, okay, I'm going to just call you up anyway. I love Letitia. Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. How do you know you are walking with the Spirit? Now, I'm just going to do a quick demonstration. If anybody has ever walked next to somewhere with my husband, you will know he's not very good at walking with you. Maybe it's just me because my legs are about 2 inches long and he's much taller than I am. But if you tell Josh we're going somewhere, right? So Letitia's me, so you can just stay there for a second. And he's like, where are we going? I'm like, to the shops. He's like, okay. You know, I've just started a conversation with him back here, and we're not having a conversation. We're on mission. He's a guy on mission, right? So when I tell him we're going somewhere, these very long legs take about 3 strides to where we're going, and I am, please, Josh, I need you to stop. Particularly difficult when I'm very heavy and pregnant. It's a hard time. So that's not what we're after, but that is sometimes what we do with the Spirit. Right? We say, Holy Spirit, where are we going? And the Holy Spirit might say, this way. And we go, okay. And the Holy Spirit's still back there. He's still back there. And the Holy Spirit's talking at a normal pace. The Holy Spirit doesn't have a microphone often. He's back there. And we're like, hey, I thought you told me to go here. He said, yeah, I did. Not at that pace, though. Not at that pace. Come back. Come back to me over here. He says, walk with me. Walk with me. And at the end of Galatians, it says, it's keep in step with the Spirit. How do you know if you are walking with somebody? So just walk with me now. You can hear them. You're in proximity to them. You know if they're going this way. And you know if they're going that way. And you know if they say, hey, watch that step. Watch that step. It's dangerous there. It's dangerous there. Keep in step with the Spirit. Because what happens here is your desire grows for the Spirit. The more you spend time with the Spirit, the more you get to know him, the more you want to be with him. Thanks, Letitia. Keep in step with the Spirit. That's it. That's the message today. keep in step with the Spirit. That's all you need to do. You want to see more of your more desire for the Holy Spirit, to see Him move in your life, to be guided in all truth, to be told the things that are to come, to have the fruit of the Spirit grow in your life, to receive the gifts of the Spirit, to see the fulfillment of prophecy over your life. You want to see that? Walk with Him day by day by day. I said it before, the Holy Spirit doesn't have a microphone. You can often only hear Him by walking side by side with Him. Sometimes He even whispers, because it's only for you to hear. And maybe there are some things that the Holy Spirit's been trying to say to you, but you haven't been listening. You haven't been close enough to listen. Maybe the Holy Spirit has been trying to tell you the next big move for your business, but we thought we knew best, so we just walked ahead of Him. Maybe the Holy Spirit's been trying to tell you that your wife is struggling. You can't see it on the outside. Your wife's struggling with her faith, and you have to pray for her. You have to pray. Maybe the Holy Spirit has been trying to draw your attention to an old gaping wound in your heart that keeps pouring out this pain. Keep trying to get close to people and then you push them away because the pain is too much. Maybe the Holy Spirit's been trying to reveal to you and bring you healing. Maybe the Holy Spirit's been trying to remind you of all truth. There are things that Jesus, in this scripture, John 16, Jesus says to His disciples, there are things I want to tell you, but I can't tell you right now. And then He sends the Holy Spirit, which suggests to me there are some things that God wants to tell us that we haven't even heard before. They're not going to be against the Bible. They're not going to be anything that is not in line with God's word. But there might be things that you've never understood before, things you've never heard before, that are only for you. How amazing. But we only get it if we desire. We only get it if we want it. And so I want to invite us into a time of prayer now. And I'm going to pray for two different groups of people. The first, I am going to read out a prayer. And it is for anybody who is a believer in this room, who considers themselves a Christian and thinks, yeah, I'm suffering with this disordered desire. That's the condition I've got. And it's a prayer of repentance. And I'm going to read it over you. And I want you to listen to it, soak it in, and say amen if you agree to it. Because then it's up to you then to walk out and walk in step with the Spirit after this. This is an action word. And then I'm going to invite anybody who has been listening to this who thinks, I don't know this Holy Spirit. I don't even know this Jesus that you're talking about. But maybe He is the answer to the insatiable desires in my heart. So can I invite you to close your eyes now? I'm going to pray this prayer over those of us who are feeling convicted this morning, that we've allowed our fleshly desires to overcome, supersede this desire for the Spirit. Holy Spirit, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for allowing the desires of my flesh to eclipse my desire for You. Please, by Your Spirit, make Jesus so real to me, so glorious to me, and so satisfying to me that the desires of my flesh would be nothing by comparison. I surrender my desires and ask You to fill me with Your Spirit. Walk with me, step by step by step. In the precious name of Jesus.